This is big, big, the best present for everybody, for TV, for my fans, for everybody, for boxing.
Hi, this is Michael Buffer, and you're listening to the voice of the people. Let's get ready for Boxing Voice.
This is big, big, the best present for everybody, for TV, for my fans, for everybody, for boxing.
Hi, this is Michael Buffer, and you're listening to the voice of the people. Let's get ready.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of the Boxing Voice Radio. I am your host, Nestor Gibbs, joined alongside the hipster, Matthew Hunton. We're going to be talking a little Triple G, Daniel Jacobs, and whether or not them two reaching 130 to 150 pay-per-view buys is a success or is it a flop? So let me head on out to the Golden State. Matt, you're the hipster, man. I know, I'm pretty sure you guess this would make a little bit more than it did.
Yeah,
I thought like 200,000 was a optimistic but realistic prediction. I definitely thought it was going to do better than the David Lemieux fight, which the only credible numbers we have are from ESPN, even though it's from the promoter, K2, that told him that. It's 150,000 pay-per-view buys for the David Lemieux fight. And this one barely broke that same number. So has Triple G gotten any bigger? Looks like no. Has his brand grown in any sort of awareness? I don't think so. And I don't know if this is an indictment of the boxing pay-per-view industry or if it's just an indictment on Triple G's potential ceiling of stardom that he's reached.
I'm going to say it's the latter, man. I'm going to say I was watching this fight and I paid for it. You know, I have Tiger Stream. I paid for it. I had, you know, my girlfriend here. Her brother came by. I had a few friends. I said, you know what? Let me not have no embarrassing hiccups. Let me just go with it, buy it. But you and, you know, actually, before I get to all that, let me, seems like we got one of the hosts popped up.
Boxing them thing was going on, brother. I know you want to sit in on this.
We're going to head on over to a doctor.
The Sunshine State.
Boxing MD.
Boxing MD, what's going on?
Is that a fair statement to make? You have to be honest with yourself.
So, yeah, I did hear the rumor about the pay-per-view numbers. And I will admit that they did it to themselves to a large degree. I didn't like the promotion for this fight. I didn't like the lack of promotion for this fight. It didn't seem like they were pushing that hard to sell this fight up until after the Keith Thurman Danny Garcia fight, which was what, 2 weeks before it or a week before it? So too little too late. And I don't know, like I missed what you guys said earlier, but I think that Golovkin hasn't necessarily transcended into the mainstream market. He's big to hardcore boxing fans. And a lot of hardcore boxing fans utilize the illegal streaming. So I think that unless you cross over to the next level, this may be the ceiling because I think Ward Kovalev, two guys who hardcore boxing fans and even marginal boxing fans view as the top of the sport, did about the same as this. So I would say it's definitely a flop if that's the beginning question.
Well, you know, like you said, hardcore boxing fans are streaming or this generation is streaming. And that's what I was going to say before I went to you. I was watching this on pay-per-view, but since we were doing immediate reactions to the undercard fights and stuff like that, I had my laptop open. I'm looking, I'm posting on Facebook. I'm posting links, like letting everyone know we're going to go live. And I'm seeing how many people on Facebook have the fight for free for you. Like it's just like everyone's Facebook live with the fight. They're just streaming their phone right in front of their television. Like I ran across streams with 100,000 views, 2,000 views, 500 views, 300 views. But that's how many different Facebook live streams there were of this fight. I think that they need to realize that. And there shouldn't be any more pay-per-view. I mean, you think about it, right? You know, MD's going on here saying things like, you know, Golovkin has made more than both Danny Garcia and Keith Thurman, but that fight is free. And I think now watching that the, because I projected 800 or I wanted this to do a lot. I really thought that the story of Jacobs and Golovkin together would move the needle. I can't believe that Golovkin still, even with Jacobs, like I can't even, I guess Jacobs is impossible. I mean, I just can't believe they didn't even make it to 300. Like I was expecting at least. Like, not even at least. I shot high for the sky. I said 800. But damn, if Canelo's doing 300 with whoever, why is this not? I mean, I don't understand. Why?
Well, I also think, like, so my prediction was between, I think I said between 150 and 200. So it did a little bit below what I said. But, yeah, Canelo is doing that. And but I think a lot of it is, and I saw it earlier mentioned in the chat, like, I mean – $60 or $70 or whatever it is, HD. With, I hate to break it to you, like Roman Gonzalez is not an undercard. I mean, he really is only known to ultra hardcore fans. So it's not like you have an incentive to have somebody on the undercard. So you're selling this marquee fight. And I mean, yeah, it's very disappointing, but it'll be interesting to see what Canelo Chavez does. Because I think that as technology progresses, the streams get better. And like you said, Facebook Live, I mean, people are going to look at look at themselves and they're going to be like, "Why? I'm not going to spend $60 or $70. Why would I stream it? Like, if you could see it in reasonable quality, right?" And I guarantee you a lot of people that watch the fight, even like on the show, probably stream the fight. I'll admit that I streamed the fight if you guys want to know the truth, right?
But TBV does not support piracy.
Wink, no, wink.
That's interesting, yo, because I'll be honest, unless it's Tiger Stream, I don't risk it. And I don't even risk it on a big, like, this is a big one to me. I mean, look at all the shows that we did. I just don't understand.
A fight party one, though.
I think this guy
is a fight party pay-per-view. That's the difference. When you have a fight party pay-per-view, when you invite 50 people over to the house or something like that, you buy the pay-per-view. One, because everyone's chipping in, hopefully. Or two, because you don't want a shitty stream to go down when you have 50 people at your house. That's why everyone bought Mayweather the Pacquiao, because they had 100 people at their house, 50 people at their house, all watching the fight. So that's why I think maybe the buys come out for Canelo Chavez.
But I would say that's a little short of the entire story about why people bought Mayweather Pacquiao, because Mayweather Pacquiao were mainstream. They broke into that thing. So I don't think it's more than the fight party. I think at that fight, people were part
of it. I'm not saying that obviously.
But I think for that fight, I think people were saying like, shit, like I'm going to drop that money on that fight. Right. And you know, the other thing is that bar, like around me, right. I don't live in a huge city. I live in a large college town in Gainesville, Florida. There was not one bar around here, not one movie theater that had the fight. So to see the fight in my town, not one had it. They'll have all the UFC fights because they have deals with them. And, you know, these bars, they have to pay per TV.
$2,500 they charge bars.
Well, it depends what bar. Typically, that's that, or they charge per TV. So if a bar has 10 TVs.
I worked in Buffalo Wild Wings for a year, and it was around $2,500 for UFC, but boxing was cheaper usually. It was around more like $2,000.
And do you see like the per TV basis? Sometimes they have different laws.
We never had that at our place, but I do know some places do have that.
But I know that Buffalo Wild Wings has a national affiliate with the UFC. So that's an entirely different scenario.
Yeah, it is a little different. Yeah.
And the UFC is ahead of the game that they discounted the price for bars, knowing that it would increase their market value. Now, K2 combined with HBO, I don't think was that ahead of the game. So a lot of people just chose not to watch the fight.
You know, we all know, because we see the numbers of the shows. Triple G is internet famous. So I guess before we go to the callers, why hasn't that internet fame transitioned? Because like I said, I seen a stream with 100,000 people watching that shit on Facebook. And before you answer that, I just want to give all our listeners, those that are not up to date, what exactly is going on? Lead writer from LA Times, Lance Pugmire, has reported that early pay-per-view reports show that Triple G Gennady Golovkin and Daniel Miracle Man Jacobs, who fought, their pay-per-views are ranging from 130 to 150,000 buys. I had asked him to come on the show, but he said he's exhausted from arguing all day with HBO representatives who want to say this number is incorrect, yet do not want to release a real number. So this is his source. And Pugmire, let's just remind anyone who has short-term memory, he is the same man that single-handedly broke the Mayweather-Pacquiao story. And the whole meeting with Les Moonves and the waiter and the whole now that you think
one
back,
of the most credible journalist in the game.
But do you want to see? But from I guess the promoter, do you want to at least acknowledge what he said, even if you could write it off?
Absolutely, no. We should, if the promoter released something, we should say it. I mean,
No. He did. No, I'll tell you what he said, because I saw this already. What Tom Loeffler said. Did you see what he said specifically?
No, I did not.
One of Lance's tweets. Say that Loeffler said it's more 150, 200, right?
Yes, that's what he said, yes.
Now, according to Matt's hipster knowledge, ESPN De La Hoya said 600. Matt says the hipster alerts say 400 and something for Khan.
80 for Canelo Khan.
So I'm just bringing that up to say that according to Matt and his way of thinking, the promoter's always going to lie.
And also, like Lance says in his actual tweet itself, these are the early pay-per-view reports, and those always change because you have overnight pay-per-views. You can sell pay-per-views the day after, and those don't count for the ones that are bought on the night of. Just a variety of reasons why that number could change for realistic reasons, either up or down. That's a possibility.
Yeah, because I was thinking about it more like, I guess for the argument of this show, I guess we'll take these numbers – speculatively, but I do think it's fair to at least acknowledge the fact that they might be higher or they might be lower. So that's also really fair to say, because Lance Pugmire, he may be right in some things, and some journalists get it right in some things, and some journalists get it wrong in some things. So I think definitively we can't say for sure that this range, but assuming it's between 150 between 130 and 150, like I said, is it a success or is it a fail? And I would consider it a fail.
Do you think it hurts the Canelo Alvarez negotiations at all?
I've been thinking that since this conversation started. I'm like, oh, I hope we don't talk about it. That's a separate show. But it's kind of hard not to talk about it now, because it's like negotiations, right? It doesn't help with negotiations that he didn't even like. I would at least like to see an increase, because you know, if we go with the highest number on the Lemieux, it was 150. The lowest was 97. So I would like at least to say that the highest on this one would be above the 150.
Yeah, and it might be. Like I said, it might be because, there's numbers disputing it on either way. So I think it could be. But even if, let's just say it does 200,000, let's just, for argument's sake, it does 200,000, which seems like the ultimate ceiling, hypothetically, right? The ultimate ceiling. It's not going to be randomly 250. Let's just say, for argument's sake, would you consider 200 a success?
Like, if it were to move up after these initial reports?
Let's just say, for argument's sake,
move up to about 200,000. You were right. So that's a realistic
number. I think that before we could say that is a legitimate success, we need to check with Loeffler. I think Loeffler was shooting for 250. There might be a Boxing Scene article on it. I think initially when asked, he was looking for like two. I think I even asked him on one of my videos. They were looking for 250,000.
But they said they were looking for more than whatever they got for the first fight, Lemieux. I think they said they were looking for 200 or something like that, and they got 150 or whatever you interpret the numbers as. But I don't know. Like, and you said, as far, and obviously that's a separate show, but as far as the negotiations between Canelo and Golovkin, I don't think that fight's going to happen next anyways. I think that he's fighting Billy Joe Saunders. So I'm not getting so hung up on that fight, because it's really like Canelo's doing his own thing, and he's fighting an overblown punching bag. And until he really is, like, I know people are calling like Golovkin a hype job now. Like, what is Canelo doing in any division that makes him relevant to boxing fans, other than obviously being popular? So I don't know. It's just a weird thing that Canelo's doing, right?
Well, he has beat some legitimate 154 pounders. You have to admit that.
Yeah.
While obviously this Chavez thing is completely separate, Canelo is proven. Like, that's not up for debate.
Yeah, but even the Chavez thing, as much as you want to call it a circus, he's still moving up 10 pounds to fight someone not in his division who's known to blow up. Even when Chavez was at 160, he was blowing up the 182 fight night. So what is Chavez really going to blow up the night of the fight with Canelo?
I mean, 190? No, I don't know. I don't know if it's going to be that high, but
all right. So there is a slight possibility that Canelo shots do not affect Chavez, and this fight ends up in an upset because Chavez has the ability to do what he did in the Andy Lee fight, to do what he did in the Sebastian Zvik fight. And I think that, you know, unfortunately,
Zvik?
Yes, Zvik is not on the level of Canelo. I understand, but I'm talking the body work and the cutting off.
Go back and watch that. Go back and watch that again. I know Ness doesn't get that joke, but it's one of the funniest things I've seen in boxing media, where the face off between Chavez and Martinez, where he was naming, like, Sergio Martinez was naming all the champions he fought, like Paul Williams and Kelly Pavlik, and Chavez was like, "I fought champions, Zvik," and he looks at him, he's like, "Zvik." It's just the way he said it. It was just, you know, so cocky and so confident, I guess you could say. And he destroyed him in that fight. So,
yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know. Look, I'd hate to go off topic, but I'm very interested in seeing what a Julio Cesar Chavez that is obviously going to be focused based off heritage and pride. Mexican versus, and we're talking about the two biggest names in boxing, in Mexican boxing. I think that he's going to be 100% on point with the weight, as you can see already from his social media. And then you add in all those other little factors. I mean, his father, Nacho Beristain, and then Memo. I don't know. Sounds like a super team to me, bro. And we're talking about a guy that bet his entire purse. He's not here to win money. He's trying to, you know, these guys have been wanting to fight. Look, we're off topic. Let me open up these phone lines really quick. We want to get your guys' thoughts. Let's reiterate. These are early pay-per-view reports from LA Times writer Lance Pugmire. Credible enough source, but this is the rumor mill, ladies and gentlemen, where we bring you news, rumors, and headlines. And today is a spontaneous show of that. This is a headline that is also a rumor until we get more factual information. But let's get out to the callers.
These calls are brought to you by El Camino Electrical Services, experts in electric vehicle charging stations. For consultations and turnkey installation, visit us at elcaminoelectricalservices.com.
I mean, you're up. Good, fellas.
Yo, Ness, you answered your own question. You said Triple G is an internet star. Why hasn't his fans found him? And the answer is they found him on the internet. You know, you just mentioned if you saw 100,000 streams on Facebook, like they're gonna watch him where they found him. I think, you know, we talk about it time and time when the show pay-per-view was dead. And in the same way, you know, in terms of media, the music industry is the same thing. So somebody going gold nowadays is amazing. Selling 150 pay-per-view buys, if that's the number, that's amazing nowadays, man. I mean, even people, you know, baby boomers, old people use, you know, fire sticks and
whatnot. Yo, T-Swift still goes platinum.
Who's T Swift?
What up?
I'm joking. Taylor Swift still goes platinum.
Yeah, she does go platinum. I don't even know her.
And so does Beyonce. No, I'm just, that's what I'm saying. There's a few people that are above the rules.
Yeah, Mayweather Pacquiao.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Triple G is not there yet. He's just not there yet. I think, and that's not a bad thing. I think they need to find a way to monetize that, if anything, but you know, those are good numbers considering the fight, man. And I think Matt mentioned the undercard. I mean, Sarcotigo, they needed a better, you know, at least a better prospect of it. Put like Lemieux on an undercard of a Triple G fight if you want to get 300 buys.
It sucks that America lost Luis Ortiz. Put him on the undercard. Somebody like that, you know?
No, they need to go back to the days of Don King. If they're going to be giving us, you know, and no disrespect to Jacobs and Daniel or Canelo and Chavez, but they're going to give us non, you know, mainstream pay-per-views. I guess they need to stack the undercards the way that Don King used to do and occasionally Al Heyman did when he had the Danny Matisse and Canelo Mayweather. But
yeah, but let's keep this real. Let's keep it real, though. This shouldn't have been a pay-per-view fight to start from. I mean, it's typically speaking, right?
On a budget.
I know, exactly. So Mayweather got to the point that all of his fights were pay-per-view, but that's Mayweather. Daniel Jacobs was a belt holder, the junior belt in the division. It's not a super fight. So, you know, I just don't really see it like
– I agree.
Yeah, so – and the same thing with Lemieux. That shouldn't have been pay-per-view as well, and I think that was another budget issue. So because HBO budget's bleak, we're seeing all their fights on pay-per-view. So this is where PBC is definitely – you know, monetizing more on it, you could say, at least for views, right?
I just don't agree, MD,
on that one.
I just don't understand, like, how doesn't it make financial sense? Like, if Heyman could come up with 2.2 million for both Danny and Keith, right? How couldn't have there been? I know that there's a contract.
There's deeper pockets. Tom Loeffler can't afford to take a loss like that necessarily.
You're not listening to what I'm saying. I know that there's a contract between Triple G and HBO. All right. I know that. But hypothetically, thinking of the fighter and his brand, right? Since the purse now we find out was only 2.5 and 1.7, that's very close and similar to what, you know, Keith and Danny got. Didn't this fight make more sense getting those guys that same money, putting them on national TV and letting them do the 4 and the 5 million that everyone else is doing on regular TV? Because Danny and Thurman peaked at 5.1.
I mean, it's hard to say. We don't know. Because
I mean, let's do the math.
You have to consider. No. Because the math's more complicated than that. If you're talking about a win loss for one. No, it's really complicated because we don't take into consideration the international feeds, streams, that they definitely have some form of monetary impact on that.
Has the rights to
exactly
air
and it, the other thing is exactly, and Ness does say you had 100,000 views, right? Facebook is international, so maybe some of that is streaming from other countries. So I think Golovkin is big internationally, but if you're just focusing on the US, I still think he is in the I guess he hasn't broken the glass ceiling, if you want to.
He's big in boxing, that's it. Like, he's big within the boxing circle, but not without of it.
All right, well, let's get out to Class Inbound. Class Inbound, what do you think about this situation? 150,000 pay-per-view buys.
To be honest, okay. So the thing with it seems to be about right. Like, I think people are overestimating this, like the value in internet views, because a lot of people, and I know this is more like culture or us as people, but a lot of people, there's a lot of hipsters in boxing nowadays, people who complain so much about like fights they are not getting. And when we do get a good fight, they're not willing to shell out the money for it because they're streaming. Just on one of the biggest Facebook public boxing pages for fans, they were streaming it. There were hundreds of people begging for streams and for links to the fight. Like, let's not act like this is all just, you know, promoters. This is people just being cheap and not wanting to pay for it. And I understand why. I did end up paying the $70 for the HD, but like, you know, like a lot of people aren't willing to do that. They're not willing to support the sport. And it can be hard for people at times, but it is what it is. And an undercard would not have made that pay-per-view sell any better. Did y'all see the views for Lemieux and Stevens, what the views peaked at on HBO?
No, what is that?
It was the report. I'll have to give you all the link, but what I saw was about 600 to 650,000 or about 700,000. But it was around that range. So it wasn't that much. And to be honest, like the undercard couldn't, like no undercard would have sold that because all people care about, I mean, just looking at all the fights that we've had, no one ever said, wow, that undercard is what I'm going to be. Canelo Mayweather would have still done 2.2 without Danny Garcia and Lucas Matisse. Floyd Mayweather, Manny Pacquiao would have still done over 5 million without whoever Leo Santa Cruz fought that day, like, the undercard isn't important to people as it is much the main event, and that's just our culture. We just care for what we want to see, not so much the little guys underneath. But, I mean, at this point, Canelo, it's going to – Triple G, I hope he just takes the fight. He just needs to take whatever they give him, go and take the fight, beat Canelo, because he's going to be the favorite, and I'm favoring the win, and then he can call the shots, and then he can be an international star, because then all the casuals will see it. But that's all I've really got for you.
A Klassenbaum, before you go, you say – you do say that, you know, you should support these fights, right? But – boxing fans, right, and the consumer has the power of the dollar, right? So everybody should support Kovalev Ward. That was a pay-per-view fight, for sure a pay-per-view fight. Ward cleared at 168, moved up to 175, and fought the kingpin at 175. Is it really not supporting the sport of boxing if a boxing fan chose not to buy this fight because it's not a pay-per-view worthy fight?
Well, I guess you're right to a point. Like, you can't say that's true. But then again, look at the numbers. If Ward and Kovalev did the same numbers as Triple G, when one is pay-per-view worthy and one isn't, then what did that tell you about the consumers?
Well, I mean, the Ward Kovalev fight, for example, like, for sure I needed to see that HD. Well, I don't understand why people, if you're going to spend $60, you should just, or $65, you should just spend another $10 to see it HD. You might as well stream it if you're going to get not HD. But, yeah, I think that was the type of fight that I felt personally I needed to support, because I was calling for that fight and everybody was calling for that fight. But this fight, like I said, it should be HBO Championship Boxing. That's an HBO Championship Boxing level fight. That's what it was a few years ago, Ness, right? We saw fights at this level.
Yeah, and you know, I think that the fight that he mentioned with Lemieux and Stevens, that was bad boxing after dark, which is something they need to bring back. Let's jump out to
one thing, and before you guys, and take in consideration that when we're talking about pay-per-view numbers, we're talking about casuals, March Madness is going on, so I think that had to have some impact, maybe not a big impact.
But why wouldn't they? Triple
G isn't a star, man. Like, it's just that simple.
Yeah, because I'm gonna say,
that's okay, but but listen, you could say that, and I'm not disagreeing with you necessarily, but I do think it's important to acknowledge the fact that big NFL playoff game, if there's March Madness going on, that might affect the consumer's willingness to spend their money. If there's a better Cinco de Mayo weekend, there's no football, there's no March Madness. People are looking for a sporting event. There's a reason. It's not just the fact that Mayweather took an opportunity to fight on Mexican Independence Day. There was, you know, Al Heyman's advisement, and they were smart to pick that date because they make sense. I mean, you don't want to have a pay-per-view right before Christmas. You don't want to have a pay-per-view right after Christmas. I mean, these are things that matter. Maybe it just could be 100,000 here or there, but like, we're only talking about 150 buys. So 100,000 would make a big difference, right?
That's not true. If Mayweather was on December 31st instead of Cinco de Mayo towards the end of his career, he would have still sold great numbers. Like
great numbers, but like
maybe, bring out the casuals.
Like, great numbers, but like, you're great. How so? Maybe they would lose 200,000. That's a lot of money. Like,
that's an assumption. Like, we don't know. Like, it Triple G can bring fans in to do over 150,000.
I don't know what you're arguing. You're arguing Golovkin's not a star, and I get it. Like, you're just continuously saying that. I'm saying that dates matter, and you're saying they don't. That's kind of what you just said.
I'm saying if he was a star, the date wouldn't matter. And it being March Madness would
have. I vehemently disagree. We could agree to disagree on that one. I vehemently disagree. Dates do matter.
Hey, we're going to jump out to some callers. Before we do that, we want to ask everyone watching, which is, like always, quite a few of you, hit the thumbs up button. It helps with the visibility of the show, gets other callers out here to pop those cherries as well. Let's get out to Stu. It's been a while. Well, actually, Steve, right?
It's Steve S, not Stu. How are you doing, mate? You okay?
Good, good, good.
Yeah, I haven't called for a while. Sorry, mate. I've been listening and whatnot. I've just caught up on Sunday's show there. I was quite surprised to hear Andy on the line. I thought he was chucking the towel in there, to be honest with you, on Sunday. But you've kissed and made up, hopefully, by the sound of things. On the box office thing, Nez, I think it's just, when you're looking at like Hay and Bellew has just done nearly 800,000 over in Britain, I think, in a small country like England and Scotland, I think you've got to realize that it's got to be a failure when it's 120,000, 150,000 in comparison. And I think they need to review how they do it over there. It's £17 here. So to be asking people in the age of the internet to pay $70 to watch guys who aren't, they're not superstars, it's not Mayweather, it's not Pacquiao. I think it's just a bit ridiculous. They really need to look at how they do it. And I think they need to get themselves in front of casual audiences, kind of like what Keith Thurman's saying. He doesn't want to go on Box Office and be in front of 100,000 people. He'd rather be on free TV, build his profile, then maybe do a Mayweather fight in front of 2-3 million people down the line.
But Stu, when you say 100,000 people, those are buys, right? So you have to assume there's at least more than one person buying. But I get what you're saying. I guess the audience is bigger. So I think people need to be sometimes they acknowledge that when they say views and buys. Buys and views don't equate to each other necessarily.
It just seems a little bit archaic, the approach. I mean, like, boxing is not as popular as it was. I don't know how you can still be charging the same amounts as when you had superstar fighters in the 90s. Now, when it's a bit more of a niche sport, it seems ridiculous that they're carrying on doing the same system that's clearly failing, looking at the numbers. And I miss Sunday's show as well. Ness, do you mind me just asking MD another theory about Golovkin's performance? Because I've heard, you know, Danny was too big, Golovkin's getting old, this, that, and the other. What
you
does
got,
MD,
you got a whole minute left for yourself. 59.
Okay,
57.
That's good. What does MD feel about Golovkin's performances slipping in the last four fights since he signed up with Vada?
Did he look bad against Wade? I know Wade was under rated, but I think that his power showed in that fight where he was with Vada, right?
I'm playing devil's advocate, MD. I'm a Boston fan myself. I had Jacobs winning the fight by one, but do you not think he slipped a little bit since he registered? I don't know. I'm just putting it out there.
I don't necessarily think that you could look at, because I think the power was there with the Kell Brook fight, right? I know he was a smaller guy, and I think the power was there.
How do we know that when Kell Brook never went down or was put out? He got saved by the towel.
But what? I mean, just because you're not down. But we always say this, Ness, that Golovkin doesn't, when he fought Curtis Stevens went down, but was he put out? I mean, not going down doesn't necessarily mean the power is not there. I just think that you could say that, and I'm not going to sit and argue with that.
His point was that before Vada, that right. Vada wasn't Curtis Stevens. Vada was after Curtis Stevens.
I know, but Ness, you just said that he never went down or who never went out. And I just said that although Curtis Stevens
is a welterweight, I mean, that's a little suspicious. Kell Brook's a welterweight. Put him down.
I mean, Ness, that's ridiculous because he would have been sleeping. He would have been down if the corner didn't stop the fight. Like, do you not understand that, Ness? When you're getting beaten up, the corner's saving you from getting put down. Come on, Ness. You know that.
But that first left hook landed. It connected sweet. Even Kell Brook's legs buckled. But what I'm saying is,
he doesn't have Julian Jackson power. We've established that he doesn't have the most one punch knockout power we've ever seen in the sport of boxing.
Okay,
so but he could hit some guys and they could withstand it.
You're not getting the. All right. Imagine this, right? Remember the same left hook that broke Kell Brook's orbital bone that he buckled at the legs. Then remember the same right hand that dropped Stevens and gave us that immediate reaction face. It's just different, and it's two different times.
Yeah, but Paul
is saying, not me.
No. But again, I think he's been doing Vada as long as any fighter at this level. So. That's your theory, and I disagree with it, but anybody has the right to make any theories they want to.
Andre, talk to me, brother.
Yeah, what's going on, everybody? Let me tell you something. These numbers for the pay-per-view, I'm not surprised. Boxing America is like the malls of America. They're dying because the product is too damn expensive. Too damn expensive. I spent $300 for my seat in the Garden. And I'm getting text messages like, yo, what's your stream for the fight? And you know, son, to me as a boxing fan, it hurts, but I can understand. $70 is too damn much money. Where you have the content now, we basically go online and look at it for free. I know boxing promoters and managers listen to this show. You guys need to follow PBC's format and hire yourself a media agency to do the research to find out when is the best time to put a fight and find a new rate to charge consumers.
You need deep pockets for that, man. Deep pockets.
I hear you, MD, but just hear me out for a second. We're in a competitive environment in regards to sports. And if you want to be in business long-term, you're going to have to spend the money or get out the business. PBC spent a whole lot of money. I understand he had the hedge fund and everything, but at the end of the day, look how many fights Alex put on regular cable TV and didn't charge, even though we're garbage. At least the content's put out there. K2, DiBella, I know they're small-time promoters, but at the end of the day,
No. DiBella's working with Heyman, so you mean K2.
Okay, all right, I apologize. These guys got to spend some money. Golovkin got to deal with Nike. Ward got to deal with Nike. You got these mega companies with these fighters, and you tell me they can't become a household name? Somebody ain't doing their job. Somebody ain't doing their job. And me, that $300 seat at the Garden, I don't know, man. That was double the what I paid for when I see my Lemieux at the Garden. I can't. I'm not paying no more higher to see Triple G. I was staying home and order the fight.
You mean streaming? I'm not buying,
say whatever. Yeah. I'm not paying $65 for a T-shirt and $75 for a hat at the Garden. Love Triple G, but I'm not doing it. They got to find a better way to monetize their sport. And this is the result you get: 130 to 150. Not surprised. Ness, I sent you a text message today about the ticket sales.
Yep.
The Garden wasn't even packed, but they made more money off that last week's fight because they doubled the damn tickets.
They juice their consumers.
Yeah, you're not going to do that to me. I'm a smart man. I know when I'm being taken.
I just want to let you know.
They charge $10 to get into the weigh-in like they Mayweather Pacquiao. They, you know what? It's disgusting what happened because this wasn't Mayweather Pacquiao. And even if they wanted to be, even if Gennady is our version of Mayweather right now, which I believe he has the potential to be, Danny Jacobs isn't Manny Pacquiao with when he had that aura about his chin. Now, obviously, everybody's going to say he has a chin of steel. But, you know, back then, we thought he was chinny.
Listen, they're going to have to hire some outside consultants to see how to better work this marketing and getting dollars into the sport. Because you're not going to keep price gouging me. I spent $600 at the Garden between me and my girl and drinks and parking. I can't do it again. Can't. It's ridiculous.
That's too much.
That's why I'd rather stay home. You know, I still hit
you. Have a good night, though.
I had a great night. I had a good night. You know, but, you know, it's just when I was just sitting there looking, getting the text messages talking about what's the stream for the fight, I'm saying to myself, I got $600 and two seats.
Well, here's the thing. Going to fights, right? Like going to fights is something – because I've been to many huge fights, but recently I would say, like, the most impactful fight, I was at the Kovalev B-Hop fight, right, in Atlantic City, and that was a little while ago. And it's almost like eating at an expensive meal that you know you're overpaying, but it's for the experience. I have less of an issue spending money on tickets and know that I'm spending a lot of money on parking, on drinks, on whatever, and I get to live the experience than sitting at home or sitting with a few friends and spending a ridiculous amount of money to watch it on an HDTV. Like, so, I mean, that's a sentimental thing. It's not as sentimental to hit buying and look at your cable bill the next month. And don't they also charge you like an additional fee on the cable bill, right? Am I correct with that?
I mean, yeah. I mean, that's $75 on
top. No, there's like a little fee on top of that, I think, sometimes too.
Not for us. But I do get what you're saying in the sense that like it's easier to spend your money going to the fight.
Because of the experience,
and you're right, you know, that atmosphere, everything about it, the friends you meet, the people you engage with.
Yep.
But
you could say, and if something happens huge, right? If there's a war or if something happens, I was there. Yep. I was there to see the first, you know, I was there to witness pretty much the end of B-Hop's career, a great fighter, right?
Mm-hmm. And very fast, I want to ask MD a question because he brought up a really good point earlier about just the technology nowadays is so advanced. Do you think that boxing should go to more of an online distribution platform or
I'll step in and let you. I think that they should. You know why? Simply like what Dre said, everyone's already looking at streams. So imagine if the stream was there at a lesser price. Imagine they were giving us HBO streams or pay-per-view streams at the UK $20-$30 price point for Americans, $20-$30 American dollars.
Ness, let me, okay. Well, you're talking about Dre and music, right? So how do you make money in the music industry?
iTunes. They do it on iTunes
nope.
now.
That's not how they make money. Nope. How do you make money?
The artists themselves big up those title in iTunes. They get more money than they ever have.
What's more impactful than iTunes?
Wait, YouTube?
Video?
Nope. You guys are missing it. You guys are missing the real. How does artists not including
video? Radio?
Nope. You guys are wrong.
Oh, man, you're gonna have to help.
Selling tickets at concerts.
Oh yeah. Well, they always touring.
Exactly. So this is why sometimes it's worth it to go overseas and have a big ass stadium in the UK and benefit from the ticket selling, because like I said, the sentimental value, people might be illegally streaming anyway, but if you have enough people and enough consumers willing to spend a few hundred pounds or £100 over there, they could still make their money that way, because people will always want to go to some of these fights, right? And even though it wasn't a sellout, it was like 19,000 something, that doubled the prices. So maybe it wasn't a failure if you look at the ticket prices, because the gates for certain fights make up for the loss of pay-per-view tickets. So I think that's another way that these guys could, I guess, survive in a...
But it's not about surviving. It's about expansion and innovation, right? We want the sport to grow, obviously. How does the sport grow, right? Like, that's, if the sport needs to grow, then it needs to grow on a new outlet.
They should have fights on Snapchat.
I don't say that, but like, we should have, like, I know, like, UFC has Fight Pass, right? So you can, they have a portion of their fight cards are only online to stream. And the rest, and their entire library is all up for streaming, like a Netflix service. You pay $10 a month and you get all the stuff. You can buy pay-per-views through that, etc. And it's cheaper, actually, to do. It's actually about $10 cheaper. But, you know, I don't see boxing pushing for that, but I think they do need to expand.
You talk about the UFC, right? And you act like it's a increasing, trending upwards market. And I beg to differ. I think that they've done some things right, and they've done some, and they've hit a plateau, and they've had a dip recently, based on a kind of what their pay-per-view numbers have been. I haven't looked up the recent pay-per-view numbers, but they're not there anymore. They're not where they used to be without Conor McGregor.
Yeah, because of the lack of stars. I understand that. But again, I'm not talking about selling pay-per-views on the traditional platforms anymore. I'm talking about totally changing the industry and going online. Like, we've seen Showtime now start to do a live streaming on Twitter for their fight cards.
Matt, they're innovating, man. K2's innovating. They're charging $10 for weigh-ins. Come on, you got to.
Nah, they're that. Copying. They
no, that was bullshit. I agree 100%. That's offensive.
If you spend
$300 on a ticket, I think you should be allowed to see the weigh-ins for free. Come on.
For sure. At least if they're going to charge for the weigh-in, they should say your ticket allows you free entry. At least if you bought a ticket to the fight, you get to come into the weigh-in free, and the people that just want to be at the weigh-in, they have to pay $10. But damn, to charge somebody who already got a ticket, that's not cool. But damn, Alex from Australia dropped off. Let's get to some callers here.
I told y'all a long time ago, the curtain will go down 3 rounds.
Next, I got milk, baby.
Yeah, what's up, fellas?
What's up, milkman? 130, 150,000. What are you thinking?
I think that's right on par. You know, I've been looking at a couple of numbers because I wanted to see, was this something that's just happening in boxing, or is this something that's happening in another combat sport? So I looked at the numbers for UFC, and outside of McGregor and Rousey, whenever there's a pay-per-view, it usually does around 150 to 300,000. So I think that's just what it is nowadays, man. If you aren't, a mega star in the sport, i.e. Mayweather, Pacquiao, or, you know, Rousey or McGregor, you know, at 500 plus.
Forgot about John Jones too, you know.
I don't really know that guy. I really don't follow MMA like that. But I'm just messing with MD. I think that's just what it is, man. Ness, you brought up a good point. You know, if they can pay Keith and Danny, you know, almost $2 million a piece,
They did get $2 million. Not almost.
Yeah, they got $2 million apiece. So, you know, man, it's one of those things. You know, I guess one question I have is, was the promotion profitable? Do y'all know what the numbers were projected to be?
You see, that's where it gets complicated because, again, we have to factor in all streams of revenue, and that would take a pure investigative journalist and some resources behind that investigative journalist to really do an assessment, right? That's a difficult thing to do.
And that's way easier to find the
just go with your gut.
I would rather take the short answer and have Matt Google search what Lawfer said. I'm pretty sure he said 200 to 250.
He did say that.
Yeah, but get the headline exactly, because I believe MD is the one said 200. I'm going with 250. I believe he said 250.
No, I said that Loeffler said the only thing I heard that Loeffler said on Twitter that it's more than 150, but I'd say that I'm assuming that it's around even or a slight loss, but I have no idea. Again, I'm assuming.
But I'm saying let's bring up his initial headline before the fight happened, what he wanted it. Like, they asked him already, what did he want it to make? And he said 250. So if this doesn't make it, obviously it answers Milkman's question that it's a loss.
Because my thing is, man, is, you know, boxing, let's face it, man, to get these astronomical numbers, we got to get casual fans in on it. And that all boils down to the fighters being accessible. Pay-per-view bouts for people that aren't that known just don't get casual involved. That's my call.
I think they should, especially with PBC, right? Especially if PBC has this opportunity. They need to do the contender again and not fuck it up this time. But because I think that
won't do anything, I think.
I mean, it worked in the UFC and maybe it would work in boxing. Who knows? I know the Ultimate Fighter has not done,
for the first 5 seasons and it's had 28 seasons. Like the idea that just a reality season, I think reality TV is seen a big dip as well. Like, again, like traditional TV, like imagine like the cord, we're in the cord cutting age. We are.
Yeah. I think that the reality TV is what's booming right now. I think you're right. I think if you stick a camera behind these fighters 24/7 and let us into their life, we would appreciate them more.
Matt, it's getting stale. Like you said, there's 28 seasons, right? There has only been one season of PBC, all whatever you call it, PBC, Road to Stardom.
And
whatever.
I have the information on Tom Lawfer. He said that he would not predict the number, but he did say it would do better than Triple G and Lemieux. He would not predict a specific number.
And that was today, released today, right?
No, that was before the fight, like literally right before the fight on Friday by Boxing Scene. Okay. And if you remember, I think that's probably because he did have a prediction number for the first Dave Lemieux pay-per-view. And it did below that. So I wouldn't be surprised if he learned his lesson. It was like, I'm not going to give an actual number out.
Let me get out to these calls international. I got Hands of Stone. What's going on, brother? What time is it over there?
It's almost 2:30 in the morning. Can you guys hear me?
Loud and clear.
Yeah, I just want to say, in regards to pay-per-view sales, I think, you know, MD being a massive Golovkin fan and not buying the pay-per-view is part of the problem. And, I mean, if you're a huge fan and you don't buy the pay-per-view of the fighter, you like, how do you expect the casual who sees the ad on HBO or a billboard to buy into that fight?
You know why? You want to know the truth why I didn't buy it? Is because I don't think it's a pay-per-view worthy fight, to be honest. I'm a student. I'm a student. I didn't have enough, pull from my friends who were watching March Madness and drinking the entire night, like Saturday night. So it wasn't like they were willing to or wanting to throw down money for a pay-per-view fight. And I'm like, whatever, like we'll stream it. And I was successful streaming it. And I honestly, like as big of a Golovkin fan I am and people perceive me, I still have principles in boxing. And I don't think this was a pay-per-view worthy fight.
I mean, Golovkin being undefeated, I don't know if Daniel Jacobs only having one defeat and them both being number one and number two guys in the division. I mean, if that's not a pay-per-view fight, can you name me some that are, which aren't an actual event, but were worthy fights for number one and two, like Kovalev and Ward?
Kovalev Ward is a perfect example.
And you say Kovalev Ward was pay-per-view.
I just said 100.
That's what I'm saying. That's an example. Not Canelo. Canelo, Golovkin, obviously.
For me, Golovkin and Lemieux wasn't pay-per-view, but Jacobs and Golovkin is. And a rematch, definitely.
I thought they both weren't pay-per-view worthy.
Do you think a rematch is pay-per-view worthy?
Yeah, I would say rematch is more pay-per-view worthy because... Yeah.
Well, Jacobs did. I would say it's definitely
a favorite. Yeah, because it's more of a story now. Because now Jacobs, this fight will be, the odds will be much closer. And a lot of people think that Jacobs is going to win. More people think he's going to win because how well he did in the first fight. So, yeah. But, I mean, just because a guy 1 and 2 in the division is fighting, a lot of people say the middleweight division is weak. So then why is Roman Gonzalez versus the number whatever? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's not always pay-per-view worthy. Pay-per-view fights are for guys who... Both, like, it needs to be, it's either Mayweather got himself that he could fight anybody, but typically speaking, it's get like the Moraleses versus the even like Pacquiao before he was a superstar. Like it's fights like that that are pay-per-view worthy, you know?
Oh no, I completely understand, because obviously prior to the fight happening, we all thought he was gonna knock Jacobs out and say it wasn't pay-per-view worthy just because of that alone.
Yeah.
And another thing I just want to say is that in the US, they need to do a whole overhaul of the pay-per-view model, because there just seems like they're all old dinosaurs with one foot in the grave who are still controlling the model. They all need a bunch of Eddie Hearns and that shit to sort it out. Lower the pay-per-view prices to have a long-term goal of increasing the sales that they have in the UK. You're seeing hundreds of thousands of buys or fights that you would probably deem not pay-per-view. Pay-per-view worthy, right? But overall, the more sales with the cheaper prices makes up for having the prices cheaper in the first place, and ends up actually getting generating more money than you see in stadiums, you know, selling 9,000
shit, Hands of Stone. Like, you heard the bell, right? I'm waiting for a gasp of air.
He was ready to go, man. He was just going.
No, he said, I heard the bell. Let me just put it all. He stopped breathing to speak.
Yo, that was like the Daniel Jacobs versus who did we watch the film review on that they would fight after the bell, like after every what?
The Ishae Smith?
Yeah, they were throwing bombs after the bell.
Yo, Ishae was a little dirty that fight, man. Damn. Daniel. Oh, wait. Sorry, Daniel. It's Mr. Anaheim. Sorry about that. There's a list. I'm just horrible at it.
But no one can stop me, really.
My God gives me.
Oh, there's a king croc right there.
My God gives me.
This croc has enough power in its jaws to whip my head right off.
Unique in the sixth round and the seventh round.
You're gonna be the legend to become a legend.
Honestly, it's unbeatable.
You're gonna be the legend to become a legend.
Hey boys, what's going on? Just read the title and joined in. I've been working real hard recently, so I haven't been able to call in. But look, 130 to 150 sounds about right. Look, you're looking at two blokes that both started at middleweight, haven't moved from middleweight. Like, if you're looking always at the gold standard, like Mayweather, who set all the records, you know, he wasn't setting big numbers when he started at 130 pounds. You know, we got to think relative here. Like, one depends on your dance partner. So for Golovkin, for example, he needs to fight Canelo because Canelo's already made a bigger name for himself. So once he fights him and wins, or he will at least be favored to win. That way he makes that name for himself. And then, you know, probably project that fight will probably get around the million mark. And then he'll probably start sitting around the 800 to million mark. But that's what I think on the fights to make more. And like, let's face it, you know, these pay-per-views are being forced down our throats. Did we really want to pay for Jacobs Golovkin? I mean, unless... I just wouldn't be paying for many fights unless they're really big and really... Like, two well-established, well-proven pound-for-pound fighters, at least top 20, top 15 pound-for-pound fighters fighting. I don't really see the point.
Do you think Mikey Garcia versus Lomachenko, if they were to fight, as a pay-per-view worthy fight?
Look, man, I'll be straight up honest. Everyone knows I'm the biggest Lomachenko fanboy. I'll pay any money to see that bloke fight. He's like an artist. He's not a fighter.
And as a hardcore boxing fan, I agree with you on that's more of a pay-per-view worthy fight than this one.
Yeah, you know, I mean,
because both guys are proven to be elite.
Yeah, like, yeah. I mean, look, a lot of the time people say it's a mixture between eye test and resume, and I think that is relevant to all fighters, except in some circumstances, the eye test sometimes. So Lomachenko's only got 8-9 fights, but the eye test sometimes, when it's an extraordinary length, in Lomachenko's case, like, he's only got 8 fights, no resume, but the eye test is so great with him, I feel like he's deserving of it. I mean, his amateur pedigree is huge. He's great. So for me, you know, anytime he's fighting, I'm watching. So that's my call, boys. Great to hear from you all.
Alex, thanks for calling in. Mr. Yes Sir in Anaheim, what's going on?
It's great here. It's great in Anaheim. I think the 150 is exactly what HBO planned for. I think that's their new strategy, their new goal. If 150 covered $7 million for Ward and Kovalev, I think that's all they're aiming for to get themselves out of their little.
We don't know if it covered though.
Sport. Well, if GGG and Jacobs were what, $5 million, and 150 covered $7 million for Ward and Kovalev, 150 should easily cover Jacobs and
Yeah, but I'm saying like for Ward Kovalev, we don't know if it covered. You're assuming like we don't know.
Did not cover that $7 million though.
I don't know, Matt. I mean, am I right for saying that he's assuming that? Like, we don't know. We don't know something about it.
I would say that 100,000 pay-per-view buys does $60 million. Take half of that off, you get $30 million to the promoter to either pay for the promoter, all the people that worked on the fight, and the fighters themselves, and did 165. So we're looking more at somewhere around over $90 million.
What? No. You mean 9 million. You're doing the math wrong there.
Oh, did I add an extra zero?
Yeah.
Okay. My bad. 9 million then. 9 million. We're looking at over $9 million. So you take half of that off. So you only get 4.5 million technically, because half goes to the TV companies.
But that's purely assuming the net gain off pay-per-view sales, not considering other revenue, gate sales, merchandise, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. And we also don't know how much. I mean, this is all complicated.
It's another $2.5 million to reach that number, right? So, like, $2.5 million could easily be gained by the Box Nation stream or whatever, and other outlets of revenue.
I think it's his promotion. I think it's GGG's promotion. Tom Roth is kind of a boring sounding guy. GGG needs to talk. For instance, a couple years ago, I came over to my mom's house to take her shopping, and I was listening to Keith Thurman talking shit to Paulie Malignaggi, you better not duck me. My mom's walking around and she hears, who the fuck is that talking all this shit? I show her who Keith Thurman is. All she knew was like Mayweather, the names. I show her who Keith Thurman is. My mom has never missed a Keith Thurman fight since that interview. She saw him talking shit that one day and she became a casual who has a favorite fighter. She hits me up for the Guerrero fight. She hit me up for the Collazo fight. It's because my mom, loving Keith Thurman, I don't miss his fights because of he sells himself. And I think that's what GGG needs to do. Because this $2 million, all this did was lower if he has any negotiation at all, any left, he ain't gonna get shit from Canelo. Why pay him anything if this is with his average and he's making 2.5? He ain't got no negotiation. Just use his back to sign the contract.
You guys
That's it.
Killing me today. You guys are really like, no, everybody's just punching after the bell. That's it. We about to get straight. We about to enforce the rules out here. Dwayne. Oh dear. Dwayne in Rochester, talk to me.
What's up? What's going on, y'all? Man, I got so much to talk about, so little time. I thought initially that the fight was going to do 200,000, so I'm kind of shocked that it didn't go over 200. So I had a little fight party at the house. Everybody was hyped, you know, big Triple G fans, whatever. So I'm kind of shocked that it didn't go over 200. The promotion for the fight was terrible. You know, I didn't see hardly no promotion commercials about the fight. I was disappointed about that. I didn't think the first fight, the fight shouldn't have been on pay-per-view. I thought they should have put it on HBO World Championship Boxing, and then the second fight go pay-per-view. Like, they're kind of similar to Kelly Pavlik and Jermaine Taylor. That was a great fight. Second fight went pay-per-view, so I thought they should have went that route, but I thought it was a great fight, but still shot that it didn't go over 200. Triple G, he needs to talk more, man. His English got to get better. He got to talk a lot more. I mean, I ain't saying he got to cuss or nothing like that, but he got to get his mouth game up and start talking and get the public to get to know him a little bit more. If he ain't going to talk, he got to start knocking everybody out, you know, something to get the mainstream fans to wanting to see him more. So, yeah, that's my input, man. Thanks, guys.
All right, brother. Well, thanks.
Really fast, I just want to address something you said there about, or just something that overall people have been saying, like the idea of like what makes a star. Traditionally speaking, it's beating another star. Mayweather beat Oscar De La Hoya. That's what really made him a star. He was selling on average 300,000 pay-per-view buys, 350,000 pay-per-view buys. He beats Oscar, then he's a million plus pay-per-view by average. You know, same with Manny Pacquiao. He wasn't really a star till the Morales fights, and then you can argue that it wasn't really till the Oscar fight that he started making a million plus pay-per-view buy rates on average. You know, and Conor McGregor, even though you don't want to say anything, he beat a star in Jose Aldo. There's tons of cases of stars in the sport beating other stars to become one. And I think that the only reason Canelo is, in a sense, a star is because he at least fought a star. He didn't beat one, but he fought one. Triple G has never fought a star, and you don't get that rub. You don't get that shine if you don't have another star fighter as your ring partner, in a sense.
But I think that Canelo is even more than that. I think that Canelo has a built-in fan base because of the Mexican-American fan base in America that's built in, that they're going to get behind the best Mexican-American fighter no matter what.
If that was the case, that Mexican fan base was going to be so overwhelming, then Jesse Vargas would be a bigger star. Like, his fight with Manny Pacquiao would have done bigger numbers. Yeah,
but
who's Mexican would be a star. Ramirez,
yeah, but he doesn't. But Jesse Vargas, yeah, but that's. But just because he's Mexican doesn't, you know what I'm saying? Like, he's the star in the Mexican community, so that it has a built-in fan base. You don't think there's a built-in
Marquez
fan base?
Marquez never reached those heights. He had to do that with Pacquiao. He never
doesn't have the look and personality that Canelo has. Like,
exactly. That's not because of the fan base. It's because Canelo looks like a star.
Yes.
Okay, so then why does Canelo get away with not speaking English?
Because he fought a star. What? He fought people. He fought.
Wait. You think that Canelo gets away with not speaking English because he fought a star, or is it that he speaks Spanish and he's Mexican?
No, he gets away with it because he's a star.
But you don't think that because. All right, I'm just.
Does Manny Pacquiao have good English? No.
Yeah,
but
what?
He's a star.
Manny Pacquiao's English is more than acceptable for him to be on huge shows that everybody in America knows who he was. His English is fine. It's better than Golovkin's, that's for sure.
Well, there's plenty of people that are stars.
His interview has definitely. I mean, his interview. His English has definitely gotten better. Let's get back to some calls. We'll come back to it. Ronald in California, talk to me, Richmond.
Oh shit! What's up, y'all?
What's going on?
Fucking, Bluetooth phone. What's up? I want to say, like, we got to realize that when we look at pay-per-view numbers, Floyd Mayweather fucked all that up. You know, he has everybody thinking that when you're a fighter and you're the A side, that when you're looking at a fight, you're like, oh, I'm not going to fight him. Look at his pay-per-view numbers. Oh, no, I'm not going to fight that guy. And that's where we're at, where Canelo and Golovkin, because Mayweather implanted that in his head, and he has everybody thinking that it's all about the pay-per-view numbers. That's not what it's about. You know, Mayweather really fucked this era up with that pay-per-view bullshit. And that's why we can't really get the good fights that we want, because the fighter and everybody else is just thinking of the pay-per-view numbers. Now, those numbers, I don't think that's that bad, considering Golovkin and Jacob, they're not like superstars. But Canelo is only a superstar for one. And this is ridiculous that I'm going to say this, but I believe it's true. He became a superstar when he lost to Mayweather. Also, the fact that he's under De La Hoya and he has the Mexican fan base, and with all of those things coming into his circle, that kind of made him a star
also based on the fact that he's very young and he has like 50 fights. You know, with a guy with a resume like that, and his only loss was to Floyd Mayweather, you know, most of the Mexican fans would like to still consider him undefeated based on the fact that nobody ever beat Mayweather, right? So...
Yeah, but what do you mean that he became a star after Mayweather? His numbers, his pay-per-view numbers didn't, like, it's not like he did that pay-per-view and they, like, went down and up and up and down. It wasn't like his pay-per-view numbers, like, were, like, excelled after then. You know what I mean? He did the Angulo fight.
They did go up. They did go up and down based on the opponents that he had. But Floyd was also smart, too, because Floyd knew that Canelo was young. He was undefeated. You know, he had the titles and all of that. And Floyd said, I'm going to go to 154 and fight this young Mexican that has no losses, and I'm going to beat him. And, you know, that's what made him – and he knew that he would get good numbers because Floyd knew he had his fan base, and he knew they had Canelo's fan base based on that they were both undefeated, and people wanted to say, maybe this guy can beat Floyd. You know, and a lot of things that has to play a role on Floyd's high pay-per-view numbers is that – people buy the pay-per-view numbers when he's fighting a decent, good opponent, because there's a lot of people out there that don't like Floyd because of his arrogant attitude. And some people like me. I mean, I like Floyd, but I just feel like he's a jerk. So sometimes I feel like, let me see, is this guy going to lose this fight? You know, so I'll buy it. But when there's fighters out there that have good fights that I like, I'm not cheap. I'll buy it.
And it's also interesting to note, too, addition to, like, what my opinion, I know Mass disagrees with the Mexican back, and that Canelo has that helped him become a star. Canelo also is bigger size-wise than the majority of Mexican, traditional Mexican superstars. So that also helps him become more mainstream, because he is in that 154, 160-pound weight division that I think is more appealing to the casuals.
I'm not saying it doesn't help. I'm saying it's not the biggest factor, in my opinion.
Popping all this champagne, popping all this rosé, getting money like Jose, chain cold, Norway, 41 that full play, I'm like, no way, got a rock like Coldplay, killing it,
OJ,
getting cheese like Green Bay,
OJ. Oh boy, all reunited and put the show in at last. You know, I'm going to be honest, man, when I come home and I check my email, and if I don't see a Blog Talk reminder on my email, I get pissed, man. So maybe you guys said the other day where your boss is, man. Maybe I'm an asshole boss, eh? I expect you guys to work overtime all the days. So anyway, glad you guys are on. You know, one thing I think you guys got to recognize with Canelo, for as many dumb things as Oscar's done, like, you know, getting his pictures and all his, you know, all his indiscretions, he built up Canelo beautifully. Like, you guys should look at the box rec of Canelo, the last 15 fights. And tell me a name on his resume that isn't well known. They're all well known, except for maybe Liam Smith. And maybe I think there's some other bum on there. But outside of that, if you look at his resume, it's fucking impressive because they're
Gomez. New.
It's like Angulo.
I'd say Gomez is like
Gomez. Gomez is known.
Gomez was on the contender.
He's a well-known bum
at that time. He was on the contender. It was a decent name.
Yeah, it was. He beat God.
Yeah, but I think that, like I said, I think they fucked up the contender because they didn't actually show. They didn't actually show the whole fights. They showed like a Hollywood. It was terrible.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. MD, look at it. Look at the contender. You had Gomez, who beat Gotti, who's a fucking Hall of Fame boxer. You have fucking Mora, who won a fucking lineal championship belt, man. And everywhere you go, you see a fight. You see Mora. You see fans on him. People love him, man. The contender did good, man.
Even when they were building him, he got names like an older Kermit Cintron, right? Baldemir. I mean, they did. They did great. Azteca TV, like, he was huge. Like, I was a big Canelo. I knew about Canelo before he was on HBO because of all this, the hype. And he does have an appealing fighting style, but they built him properly within the Mexican community for sure.
They did, and even now, even the guys he's fighting now, he's smart. He fought a Khan, who is like relatively an easy challenge for him, but he fought a name, so it makes it interesting. So you're still going to go to the fight, you're still going to buy the pay-per-view, because it pushes the needle, right? And I think what Lawler, or whatever his name is, Laughlin, whatever, I don't even know his name is, Tom Laughlin, whatever, they didn't do a good enough job of hyping up Jacobs. They should have went with the American story, the cancer story a bit more. They should have put it in the public. Like, they should have done so that the American public rallied around J-
Jacobs. And as you saw the fight, Triple G got way more fandom than Jacobs did, right? So they did a bad job. All in all, they should have pushed the American fighter. It would have pushed the needle. It would have got more pay-per-views. But at the end of the day, it still was a pay-per-view worthy fight. Like, Golovkin is a big enough name. He deserves the pay-per-view, right? So I think that's one thing you guys got to consider. So, boom, I'm out right before the bell.
Good call. Gone are the days of pay-per-view, it just seems like, man, unfortunately, man. I hope they do away with him, to be honest. You know, I hate that Golovkin has to suffer because I feel like he has the ability to pass the torch, even though he's running out of time with the amount of years left on his career. But I guess the only way to learn a lesson is to continue to fail. Let's jump out to West Africa. Before West Africa, Josh, talk to us.
Yeah, man. I kind of knew that that the pay-per-view was going to do around 100,000. That's what he sold last time with Lemieux. So, yeah, I mean, this is not really a big surprise, but it's not like an official number, right?
Pretty good source, but it's not official. This is the rumor mill. We're bringing you news, rumors, and headlines.
Yeah, man, pay-per-view is pretty dead. I mean, when they announced this fight, I already knew right away I was going to stream it. So I think that's the problem with everyone now. Everyone just, like, when the fight's not really that, you know, that good, everyone just automatically says, yo, I'm going to stream it. So, yeah, I think that's why, you know.
Are you buying Canelo Chavez Jr.?
I'm going to go to Vegas for that. So I'm not going to attend the fight, but I'm trying to see where they're going to have the closed circuit venues showing the fight. But, yeah, if I wasn't going, I'd probably buy it. It's different because, like, Canelo appeals to the Mexican and the Latino demographic. So it's like, I don't know, it's just – that's why Canelo always sells, because he just appeals that, like, he's on Univision, he's on all the Spanish channels, like, you know, he's on Univision, Telemundo.
Yo,
and
you gotta remember, bro, he made that million how much is Chavez getting, Matt? He gave his whole purse up.
No, they took that back.
No, they stopped doing that. Like, Chavez Senior, He squashed it. You got to watch that on YouTube, Ness.
That's like, fucking ass.
He wants his son to get paid. That's why.
yeah. They were saying, like,
come on, that's bullshit. You can't go on national TV.
You know, like, because
yeah, you can't go on national TV and say you're gonna bet and then be all on Instagram talking about money. Man, that's bullshit.
Yeah. Like Chavez Senior, he was like, nah, you know, we don't. This is we're not fighting for money. We're fighting for respect. You know, we want what Canelo has, like the respect of everyone. You know, but yeah, man, that's my call, man. When the numbers become official, yeah, they're gonna be the same, 100,000. Peace.
Josh, thanks for calling in, brother. Let's get to Muhammad, West Africa. Talk to us.
Yo, I'm disappointed with the numbers. I was expecting at least 350,000. Buys based on the fact that, you know, Jacobs was his biggest challenge. It was a meaningful fight for the weight division. So I'm really disappointed. But if you read between the lines, this is what you have to conclude. Triple G cannot be an A-side to Canelo, and he cannot make any demand because he has HBO behind him. They're pushing him like crazy. They never did push him. I mean, the only guy they pushed so far like him was Pacquiao, goes to tell you. And he had two things going for him, HBO and the fact that he was a destroyer. His last two fights, he looked ordinary, so that's gone. HBO did everything they could for him. It didn't help. He's stuck on 150,000. So he has to accept whatever Canelo is offering him. I don't care if they bring down the offer to 10 million. He cannot talk. If he doesn't take the 15 million, that means he's ducking. He made 2.5. Come on. That's like, what, four times, five times, six times what he's doing. So pay-per-view is not dead, but not every fight is pay-per-view. This is because HBO is having some financial problems. So you know, you go to the supermarket, you have to put it on pay-per-view. You do groceries, you have to make it pay-per-view. It doesn't make any sense. You're going to see Chavez Canelo is going to be at least a million because, like the caller, the previous caller said, they appeal to more than, you know, hardcore, to the casual.
Yeah, and I don't, and to clarify,
you're going to get to some other call.
To clarify, HBO isn't having financial problems. They're just not giving money to boxing. Trust me, the subscriptions of HBO are increasing. They're just spending a lot more money on more money elsewhere. So, yeah.
Let's get to some other callers. Listen, what we're going to do is we're going to switch to drive-by. It's almost 11 o'clock at night here, Eastern time. So you know what that means, 30 seconds. Don't make us use the cut it since you guys call it offensive. That being said, we'll jump back out to the phone lines.
If you know like I know, you should lie low. I used to get it in Ohio.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Real quick, man. I mean, this fight to me was, I kind of seem like that's what the pay-per-view should be for this fight. Really shouldn't be pay-per-view. But this fight was really to see where Triple G's legacy, you know, to kind of type of fighter in history, or is he going to be a Hagler Hearns or, you know, some of that nature. So his first fighter of any kind of skill, you know, he gets a questionable decision. I don't know. I just want to see more. And I really feel like right now.
Cut it. Jay Will, my heart goes out to you. I know right now you're probably cursing us out because, like, damn, I waited that hour and I only get 30 seconds. But, doggy, I'm starving right now. Chris in Atlanta, 404, you're up.
Yo, what's good? I'll keep it short and sweet. This is actually an interesting topic. I just feel like, you know, HBO is trying to manufacture a superstar out of Triple G, and you either got it or you don't got it. And I feel like a lot of these fighters today, they need to start opening their mouths more, talk some trash. All this corporate promotion with this Tom Loeffler and sitting back and staying quiet is not working. Also, you can't shame people into buying pay-per-views. There was once a time in World Championship
Cut it. Damn.
I just want to mention again that I think that I agree 100% with the caller said here on the next caller, but I still believe, again, that being from Kazakhstan does not help them at all. There's a lot of Filipinos that live in America. There's not that many Kazakhstan.
But he has Mexican boxing, Mexican style.
Yeah.
He's not a real Mexican. We know that. Come on.
He comes from the same borough.
Yo, but he's selling out a lot of arenas, man. So it's like he does.
And he is big in LA. Like he is probably.
Well, no. He's LA. We're talking like the standard we're holding him to is he a superstar or is he a star? He's a star, but he's not a superstar. That's fair to say.
Yeah, but he could not be a superstar and still sell 300,000 pay per view buys potentially.
Not in this market.
I guess you
could be right about that.
I mean, look what Crawford Postal did.
Exactly. Crawford Postal did 50, and we consider Canelo a superstar. He's doing 300 on average. So if Triple G is not a superstar, him doing half of that starting to make some sense.
Don't even respect your ass. That's why it's time for the doctor to check your ass, nigga.
Yo, fight doctor in the house. Rick James status. Once again, the boxing SAD opens his mouth, proves Jeff Mayweather is correct. Roger Mayweather is correct. Listen, those numbers are artificially inflated. They're misleading. The 130 to 150K number, that includes international pay-per-views. The U.S. pay-per-view number is closer to 80K, 80,000 pay-per-views, okay? Boxing MD, you're full of shit. Stop it.
What's your source?
Cut it.
Sorry, no, before you go, I just want to know Fight Doctor's source because I could look that up myself. What's your source?
I'll bring it back on just for that answer.
Yeah.
Fight Doctor, what was your source for that?
Rick Glaser. Rick Glaser is the source, okay?
So everybody uses that guy, but I don't know like how credible.
You're talking about the guy that he wears his shirt button too tight that his head's always red? That guy?
I don't know if that's him. But I know.
No, that's him. Matt laughed. He knows what that is.
Matt. I mean, Marcus in D.C. Marcus?
Yo. This is a real drive-by right here. Yo, check this out, yo. This is the reason. People got to tell people like Danny Jacobs, man, if you don't take the money, fuck you. Should have fought December the 10th. $4 million with the Danny Garcia and fucking Thurman. They got it done. This fight was only $4.25 million for guaranteed purses. This shit took us 6 months to get fucking done. But Danny Jacobs and people like that got to stop cussing fighters out. When Danny Jacobs don't fight for the money that's on the table and they get a new fighter, they should just fight and just say, man, Triple G's fault. These dudes, they fight. Triple G tried to fight on HBO. He tried to fight on regular HBO. He's trying to keep his market. Regular HBO and sell out shows. It's these clowns that we keep trying to solidify.
Cut it. Call of the year right there. Nomination right there. MD nominates.
956. First time caller. Who's this? First time caller?
Nah, man. I called back in the fucking Jermall Charlo Julian Rock Williams show. I think that was my first call, actually.
Great. What's your name? We got Avery, a producer here.
Austin,
so
Austin, Texas.
So you said Steven from Austin, Texas?
Yeah, dude, it's Avery.
I remember you.
From Austin, Texas, yeah.
Avery. Good to have you back, brother. See? We're on
Triple
we're on.
G fans stick together. Yeah.
He's talking to you, MD. All right, we're on drive by.
I thought he was talking to Ness. Ness is TV. He's out of the way.
He said he's talking to MD.
Okay, my 30 seconds start now or what?
They started.
Yep.
Shit. Okay. Let me just keep it quick. The only point I want to make is this. I think Triple G needs to be more active in his best year. I think it was 2013, his breakout year. He was the most active he's ever been. Fought 4 fights, regular HBO. The older a fighter gets, the more active he needs to be, because in between fights, the less work you get, quickly your body's gonna break down.
Cut it. Yo, you guys need to be formulating your thoughts in the interim while the callers are talking, for real. You're getting caught with your words. Let's show you how a pro does it.
It's only his second time, Ness, you know.
Yeah.
That is true. Okay. That is true. It's
okay. You got a short window of time.
Yo, keep calling back, Austin, Texas. We appreciate your call.
Yeah, Avery, you know what? It's a spontaneous show. It's a little later than normal. You know, we normally go on 7 Eastern, so. You're right. But Joshua, he's pretty.
He's on it. He should have his thoughts formulated and a coherent thought together.
See, let's see how good Joshua does.
Yeah, let me run it. Just like I was talking about Canelo. Canelo's being hyped by Golden Boy, and I still heard that's his past. He's the biggest hype job in the sport. I know I'm critical of Triple G. Triple G won't ever be able to do them pay-per-view numbers without the right dancing partner, which may be Canelo Alvarez, and even after that, his pay-per-views will still be averaged around maybe 200, maybe pick up to 300,000. But he don't have it. He's not the he don't know how to market himself. He don't have the charisma. He just don't have the personality. That's my call.
Cut it. Yo, it's sad to hear that he doesn't have the person. I think he's so personable. Like, the smile automatically draws you in. The little one-liners. Those are things you can't make up. Like hitting the thumbs up. You can't make that up. We got to keep asking you guys. I don't understand it. Why don't you remember to hit the thumbs up? It's showing that you like what you're receiving. It's showing that us staying here late on the Eastern time and Matt over there in the West Coast, that you enjoy it, that you appreciate it. It helps with the visibility of the show. Let's get to Gabe in Salt Lake City.
Gabriel, are you there? Apparently not.
Just listening, no problemo. Oh, Sean Dew in New York, who issued a challenge to Matt.
Dude, Sean Dew, you're the one that challenged me? Oh my God, I am hurt, Sean Dew. I am hurt. We had such a good time at the party, and you're challenging me?
Tuna, bro. I could be a tuna.
All right, your clock starts now, brother.
Yeah, I could be a tuna, bro. It's all good. All right. I wanted to say it was a great fight. 150K is pretty good. And I mean, everybody's overthinking it, man. Mayweather's numbers are crazy. Everybody's trying to compare it to those. You know, it's not going to happen. But, yeah, you know, I got to jump back into work, so that's all I have to say.
All right, Shandu. Glad to see
you. Shandu's the realist, man. I love Shandu.
Yeah, that's actually an even fight. Yeah, both 130.
Yeah, dude, he's tall. Like, he's skinny. Like, but you know what? He seems like that guy that's like has like an 8-pack or something like that. No, and he's super like, fit. You
know, he seems like super athletic. Remember,
he's like he may be like faster than like me, and that's saying something because you know I'm good.
Because you're Amir Khan. No, you know what it is. I want to believe that he's like one of those New York City messengers. So he's like in super.
Oh, he's on a bike all the time. Damn.
Exactly. He's in super killer.
He's gonna be on his bike against me. Worried about that power.
Yo, you see, yo, that's what Triple G. You gotta go work with Triple G. Teach him how to sell a fight.
Yo, so MD just did some investigative journalism himself,
prophecy?
And I cannot find the amount of Kazakhs living in the United States, but there are a few million Filipinos living in the United States. Not to mention the amount of mixed Filipinos that are living. More than 4 million Filipinos living in the United States.
That's a lot.
More than 4 million. Yeah, that's the number. And I cannot even find an article about Kazakhs living in the United States, but it's fair to say that it's under 100,000.
You called in once before, 770-885. You're live on TBV late night. Who's this?
What's up, Nas? What's up, fellas? Is it now?
Are you on
the problem with the
Whoa. Are you on speaker or something?
No. I'm on regular phone, man. I'm just in my office right now.
What did you say your name was? It was just a little bit of an echo.
Nell.
Oh, Nell. N-E-L. Nelson.
Nelson,
from where are you calling?
From Atlanta.
All right. We got the producer getting it down. Nelson, go ahead and start your 30-second rant.
I think the marketing strategy didn't work. The marketing strategy with Triple G of making him not too vulnerable, making him too perfect, and tying his name with Canelo is kind of affected the numbers he can sell. You gotta make a guy a little vulnerable. When you sell a guy like that, you know, where the beast, the unbreakable, that scares people away because they figure, you know, we're gonna pay for this fight. This guy's just gonna knock him out. You know, you got kind of like that Mike Tyson effect. Nobody wants to buy the pay-per-view anymore because they kind of know what they're going to expect. And at the same time, they tangle Triple G's name with Canelo. So now nobody wants to see that name unless it's Canelo's name on top. So the marketing strategy kind of backfired. They should have eased down a little bit with making him bigger than what he really was.
Cut it. Thank you for calling in. We're going to make sure we get you down.
Okay, so let me read that number really quickly because this is a riveting number. So according to a 2000 U.S. census, the population of Kazakh natives is less than 300 people.
Damn. That's
Kazakh natives. So you're thinking about people that just...
Okay, so...
That have immigrated. Right,
so people... Okay, so then according to the American Community Survey... In 2010 to 2012, there was more than 23,000 people born in Kazakhstan, but not all of them a Kazakh ethnicity. So again, even if I say there's 30,000 people, it's still a very small U.S. population opposed to Filipino, Mexican, or Russian, for example, right?
But you don't think Triple G on some level sells to the Ukrainian market, the Russian market in the U.S. You don't think there's any crossover of Lomachenko fans, Triple G fans, and Kovalev fans?
Absolutely.
I think in the
hardcore, all those guys are from separate countries.
I think you're talking about in the hardcore boxing community, but I don't. I mean, Matt, like I know it's
you could be right about
to,
that.
I know it's complicated to explain, but like there's a lot of differences of ethnic problems and differences identities in Soviet former countries. Like, I mean, think about just a little situation between the UK, the Ukraine, and Russia. That you know,
I'm not talking about people in Ukraine or in Russia or in Kazakhstan that are fans of you guys. I'm talking about U.S. fans. So think about this: there are countries in Africa that have awful relations with other countries in Africa, but I've never heard a boxing fan that's African American go, "Well, I'm not going to support the guy from Ghana because I'm from this country and they have issues with Ghana." I've never heard that. You know, like I'm
maybe that's Africa, but Europe, for example.
You know, something you guys heard. Have you heard that Billy Joe Saunders interview? Yeah. Now that's how you promote a fight. He was very disrespectful to Golovkin.
Oh yeah.
Called him all kinds of numbers. Excuse me, names, and called him Borat too, right? Didn't he call him Borat?
Or you said that he would like pay him with like a Borat DVD or something like that.
Yeah. Like, and Matt, I think a better example would be just the Ukraine situation, right? They border each other. Or how about Greece and Turkey that are pretty much in the same region? But I guarantee you, a guy who backs a Greece fighter because of historical differences won't necessarily get behind a Turkish fighter. So I hear what you're saying, but I agree.
But when Triple G is fighting a person that is not of those markets, I could see Eastern Europeans as a whole supporting their Eastern European and fellow Eurasian.
I don't agree. I think Russians support Russians.
I'm not saying I have any statistics to back that. Same with you. This is just our opinion about the matter.
All right. I use historical evidence and you use opinions, which is okay. It's an opinion as well. So agree to disagree.
Okay, man.
Mr. Info Joe.
Tell them the truth, Joe. Tell them the truth.
This portion of the show we call In the Know, presented by my brother.
Tell them the truth, Joe.
Yo, what's up, fam? I predicted 150. I don't think we'll ever see a mill pay-per-views. I don't care who's fighting. I think the internet streaming ruined all that, same with record sales. The only way to get close to a mill in boxing now, I think, is to stack the card, champ versus champ, from heavyweight all the way down to 140, for us to ever even see close to even 800,000 in pay-per-view buys. That's my call, brothers. Peace.
Cut it.
Damn, Info, you see how Matt got his finger on the trigger?
And he beat me, man. I was pissed. I was like, I'm going to get Info Joe. Like, I want to get him with that cut it, you know?
Yo, what about Nate Diaz versus Boxer? That would do pretty well, right? I'm not joking.
Yo,
I'm not
sure. That was way out of left field. Yeah, sure. I guess.
Is Nate Diaz the one that used to be on Strikeforce back in the back? Yep.
That's Nick Diaz.
Yeah, that's his older brother. Yeah,
he's the one who fought George St. Pierre, you know what I'm saying?
I used to watch the older brother when it was free on Showtime. Blind Man Brad, congratulations on opening up that Twitter, brother.
Matt, did you hear that?
Yeah, man.
MMA.
You guys see the pictures of the child, I'm sure. But let's drive right into this one. Okay, Jacobs. He's not the biggest star in Triple G. Well, what you really had to do is self-involvement with celebrities and stuff like that. If you want the biggest numbers and you want everybody to care, because that's what really boosts social media. That's what really boosts who you are with the people as casual fans. But this next fight, if they do it again in a rematch, it would be better because they actually know Jacobs now.
Cut it.
I love you, Brad. And those were amazing videos and pictures, man. Just want to say that, but we're on a timer.
Ali and Dago.
Yeah, what's good, y'all? I just want to say, man, HBO's trying too hard. These guys that aren't superstars in the sport need to be about $45 to $50 for pay-per-view. They're charging us $60-$70 like a Mayweather Pacquiao type thing when they're fighting Jesse Vargas, Robert Guerrero. So they're not stars like that, man. $45-$50 tops, and that's my call.
Man, I don't even want to pay that no more. I swear, I like the UK prices. Let me buy. I'll buy pay-per-views all day, like Jacobs Golovkin at 20 and 30.
I'll tell you the problem with how the market works is once prices increase, it almost never decreases. Right? It's never going to go back down.
Never.
Well, the way
it's not there anymore, unless there's no more pay-per-views. Like, it's either the numbers we have or more, or no pay-per-view at all.
Not necessarily. Remember, there was that rumor that eventually PBC would go away and would turn into straight internet content. And again, I think if you give people internet fights cheaper.
They would probably do it bi-monthly. Like, they would make it a Netflix.
That's even better. I would rather.
More like the WWE. Yeah, the WWE. I don't even watch WWE, but no. I know that the UFC modeled their model after the WWE, right?
Because the WWE went completely online.
They need to copy Box Nation. This way we can get UK fights the way that Box Nation gets them US fights. So, like, all right, charge us monthly for all your U.S. stuff, plus we get the U.K. fights instead of having to fucking go get a stream.
But Ness, this is my point again about how concert sales and ticket sales, they sell out their stadiums.
So you're saying they only offer it for $20-$30 because they sell out stadiums?
I'm saying that I think that to underestimate the amount of ticket sales I do over there for even mediocre fights, not the huge fights, mediocre fights. I mean, Bellew David Hay, I mean, that was pay-per-view over there, so it's a hard argument to make on that one. But, I mean, even medium shows, like, I mean, they don't, like, they have, like, little halls that have 5, 6,000. Like, we see fights on TV that have, like, 5, 600, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you're right. I mean, you're right. Bradley coming up, I always bring it up. He only had, like, 2,000 in West Palm, so. Let's get to
Palm Springs.
Yeah, Palm Springs. Let's get to Majid in your neck of the woods, Orlando.
Yeah, man. Shit. I ain't even ready, man. You could go to the next caller. I'm confused about the low pick, you know.
All right. Good night, man.
Well, Majid, the confusion, I guess, is that we thought he was a star and the numbers are not translating. But the rumor from a credible source, a journalist by the name of Lance Pugmire from LA Times, is saying that the industry source is saying these pay-per-views came in around 130 to 150,000. But we've gotten through our callers. Definitely a great show. I want to thank everyone that tuned in. I want to remind you that it doesn't matter if you're watching this now or in the future, present, past. You can hit that thumbs up button. It will always help with the visibility of the show. We will be back. I think there's some Canelo news that we definitely need to discuss. It kind of came out on this show. Maybe we'll do it early morning tomorrow. So
plus some IBF news.
Plus the IBF news that's not important. Make sure.
Come on, dude.
That's just the casual in me that doesn't really care. I mean, what's really happening, right? Like, Better Beef is available, and the IBF is sending letters to everyone to see do they want to fight Better Beef.
And dude, I'm telling you, this is the thing that's going to stop Andre Ward and Sergey Kovalev 2 happening in the reserve time they have or slot they have.
I'll tell you this. I wouldn't mind if it stopped it because it would mean Yvonne Michelle, Al Haymon dealing with Roc Nation, which we haven't seen yet.
True.
We haven't seen that yet. You know, we know that there is a old backstory between Jay-Z, his wife, and Al Haymon that would probably make them not do business. So I wouldn't mind to see it just for the storyline of it, since I'm such a gossiper. I'm so, you know, consumed with boxing that I even know that story. But again, it is unfortunate that Triple G didn't get over that 150. I would have liked to see him do 300, maybe 350.
Allegedly.
True. So far, early reports, because it would have been good. A 350 number gives them some negotiation power. But
just for the record, when was the last time we had early reports and the later number was higher?
Hey, man, I'm just saying, like,
it's lower.
I'm just saying to protect the integrity
of the show.
Exactly. And that's the most important thing
is what it is.
Allegedly.
And a report. But tomorrow, maybe 10 a.m. Eastern or 12 Eastern, we should be back with a show. Maybe it's going to be on that Canelo Triple G. Oscar De La Hoya had some great choice words. I'm your host, Nestor Gibbs. Join me on Instagram and Twitter at NestGTO. And you can catch my two co-hosts at...
You can find me at BoxingMD1 on Twitter, where you could find me, my boxing views. And if you guys want to know more about Kazakh geography or any geography or history, I have a diverse realm of knowledge here. So, you know, you guys can pick my brain.
You can find me at Mixed Combat News on Twitter, and Mixed Combat Radio is my MMA podcast on Patreon, SoundCloud, YouTube, iTunes, etc. Peace.
All right. Good night.